this is your, this is staff dev, tama? For the pastors, okay? Are you all pastors here? Okay, tignan ko, mukhang pastor ba? Sort of, huh? Okay. Okay. Volunteers. Volunteers for. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Meron bang wala dito? Oh, marami-rami yun ah. Sino Jeff? Jeff Elizcopides? Okay. Patrick? Oh, nandiyan si Patrick ah. Christian? Nandiyan si Christian ah. Okay. Oh, in case makalimutan ko yung pangalan nyo. Okay. If you guys were interested, I heard you guys talking along the, just as I entered, about the RH bill. I can give you a perspective. It's just that we may not have the time. So if we do have a little extra time, then if you want to find out, I can share with you some thoughts. Medyo interesting yung discussion kanina dun eh. So nakakatawa. Anyway, let's just pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your hand upon our lives. Thank you that we are what we are by your grace, but that grace was not without effect. As Paul the Apostle Paul said, that grace enabled us to work even harder than most. And I believe that your grace is at work in our lives. And this time of equipping, Lord, is to help us be more effective as your shepherds, as your spiritual leaders over your people. And as Solomon said, these are a great people. Who can lead them, Lord? Thank you that you have chosen us for this great and awesome task. And so we pray that by your Spirit, you would equip us and strengthen us, enable us, Father, to be effective in the ministry. And this role that we have. So bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Our topic for this afternoon is on what's called the organizational life cycle. Now, I don't know what you guys have been learning. Can you just so I have a perspective, ano ba yung mga teachings? Kasi I know Pastor Paul Barker, but are there other topics that you've discussed? Okay. So kay Alex, ano? Oh, good. Okay. So it's a combination of spiritual leadership and also some management leadership skills then. Yeah, because I think I learned this from Dr. June Venser. He said as your ministries grow, as your and the organizational side of the ministry becomes more in the forefront, that we need to develop ourselves not just as spiritual leaders, but as management leaders. Okay, and they're not opposite to one another. They're not mutually exclusive. Being a spiritual leader doesn't mean you can't be effective in the area of management, because there is a management side to leadership. And so you may have had those debates. But I think if there's one thing that I can say, I believe Filipinos, have the capacity to be effective managers as well. You know, in around the world, we're known for talented musicians, for artists, for boxers, I guess. But I believe in the area of management that certainly we can serve with the best. And I heard about this, I think this was a number of years back when Bill Gates wanted to hire a CEO for Microsoft in its European office. So did anybody hear about that? Okay. Anyway, he put out an advertisement, I guess, and immediately 5,000 applicants went. You know? And I mean, it was a huge auditorium. And there was a Filipino who decided to apply. Okay, si Mario Dimagulangan. Okay, so. Anyway, what kind of tatang? So anyway, when these 5,000 candidates applied, it was a huge convention center. Bill Gates welcomed them all and said, this is going to be a tough process. I mean, I'm only going to hire one guy, and so I need to, you do a process of elimination. And so if you don't know JavaScript, okay, then you need to please go ahead and vacate the room. And immediately 2,000 people left the room. Now Mario was thinking to himself, I don't really know what Java, anybody knows what Java is? I think it's a computer language. I don't know JavaScript, but what have I got to lose? And so he decided to stay. So after that, sabi naman ni Bill Gates, so there were still 3,000 people left. Sabi niya, if you have no management experience, if you've never managed 100 people or more, then please leave the room. And so another 2,000 left that place. Now, you know, Mario said, well, I never even managed one person. But what have I got to lose? And so he said, I'll just stay. So after that, he said, if you don't have a management diploma, then you need to go. So finally, I mean, after that, 500 people leave. Mario said, I never even finished high school, but you know, what have I got to lose? So he decided to stay. So finally, okay, as I said, there were 500 people left. And so sabi naman ni Bill Gates, if you don't speak Serb Croatian, I guess it was going to be in Europe, so please leave the room. And 498 people left the room. So and Mario and the other guy were the only ones left. And you know, obviously Mario doesn't speak Serb Croatian. And so he said, well, what have I got to lose? So finally, well, Bill Gates said, well, looks like it's just the two of you then. So what I'd like you to do now is I want you to speak to each other in Serb and Croatian. So Mario was scratching his head and he said to the other guy, paano ba yan dong? Ewan ko pare. Oh, it'll still... Some of you didn't really get that right away, but... Ngayon na ba narinig yun? Narinig yun na? Okay. Thank you. Anyway. All right. At the end, what is our outcome objective? Okay. Ako yung inaantok eh. Huh? Hindi pwede talaga sa Linggo, bro. Pampastor lang yan. Okay. Okay. At the end of the session, our goal is that you will understand the reality of what a life cycle is in organizations and how you can avoid its aging and keep the organization effective and productive. So, and this is kind of funny. I don't normally talk on these subjects. I mean, I've had experience in corporate management. Because that's really my background before I went into ministry. And when I reflect upon it, I think, wow, you know, when I became a pastor, in my mind, I'm trashing all these things that I've learned. You know, working in multinational corporations, having a graduate business degree. But it's interesting that in the last few years, as our ministry organization has grown, I've realized that these skills and these this knowledge base is something that's useful in the context of ministry and particularly ministry organizations. And so, although this is not something I normally talk about, the others from VMA were thinking this might be good for you men to have an understanding on. And as we get into this more, you're gonna because many of you. You know, some of you are newer in this ministry organization, but there's a number of you who were with us even in the earlier days, and you're gonna smile and you're gonna start nodding your head and maybe iling-iling ka rin minsan, okay, yeah, I know, we've been there, and so hopefully this is, as I said, will give us a greater understanding of the whole notion of life cycles in an organization and how we can avoid the pitfalls of a stagnating organization and be effective and productive as a ministry organization. So these teachings are really broad in the sense that they are applicable to organizations, whether they're secular, whether they're ministry. Okay, but what's relevant for us is how it applies in our context, and it doesn't necessarily mean that everything we talk about is true of our ministry organization, but still, you will see the validity of this as we go along. Now, just two quick biblical perspectives before we get into the study of this organizational life cycle. Two scriptures or two biblical principles. The first one is what's called the principle of power and form. And what this principle simply means is that every power needs a form to channel that power. Okay, this principle I learned from the principles of liberty that some Christian educators discovered that America's founding fathers used reason from to come up with their constitution. Okay, they call it seven principles of education or liberty, and one of them is the principle of power and form. And as I said, this principle simply states that every power needs a form to channel that power. A simple illustration is that of a fire hydrant and a fire hose. If you have a burning house, you need to put out that fire. So the fire truck comes and he turns on the fire hydrant. Now, you know, uncaps it. Now, if that's all you do, the power to burn that, you know, to quench, you know, to put out that fire is with a fire hydrant. But just turning it on and let the water gush out won't put out the fire, right? Because although it has the power to put out the fire, it's not being channeled to where the fire is. And so you need the hose to channel that power to the burning house. And conversely, you know, you can use that fire hose and beat up that burning house with that hose, and it still the fire won't be put out. You have to have the channel to direct the water to the burning house. And so, interestingly, there is a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's, you know, again, it seems that speaks about pretty much everything that's happening in our day and age. And then it says they're having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Okay? So you see power and form there have nothing to do with them. So you can have a form of religiosity, but the power source is the power of the Spirit that enables us to live godly. And so that's where you get that principle. And so when we look at the organizational life cycle, we're looking at the forms or the activities in an organization, but don't forget that there is a spirit, there's a power source that enables an organization to be what it is. Okay, and then this is more at the back of your mind so you understand it. Then the other principle is the principle of the many-membered body of Christ. Okay, I don't need to belabor that. Actually, I taught this to the management team 2 weeks ago, and I had to emphasize this because being in the management side of the ministry, it's very possible that our management team can think that somehow, because we are a ministry organization, diba, what is in the forefront are the pastors and the ministers. And yes, that's true to a large extent. You know, we're the ones seen up front. But yet, because of the principle of the many-membered body of Christ, we cannot say that we don't need them. Remember that Paul said that in first, you know, the foot can't say to the hand, they don't need me, or vice versa, that the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Remember, those are the two attitudes we need to guard against. And just like our human body, there are parts that are presentable, there are upfront parts, there are parts that are behind the scenes, okay? And yet, each part is important, okay? So when I say behind the scenes, that's not just in a literal sense, okay? Okay? Behind the scenes, okay? So anyway, never mind, okay? Medyo matamlay yata kayong hapon, okay? So, okay? So, the point is, every part is important, okay? And so, when you look at the activities and the elements of organizational function, you're going to see at different stages in the growth of the organization, some organizational functions are more emphasized than others. Okay, you'll get this more when I get into it. Okay, so I think those two principles are helpful for us from Scripture to see and analyze this phenomenon called organizational life cycle, and then its application for our ministry organization. Now, I want to also talk about the S curve. Okay, what is the S curve or the sigmoid curve? Well, that's really the bell curve. Okay, but when I say the S curve, it's really this part of the diagram. The S curve represents the natural development of a number of things. One is a human life. Okay, we know that any human being or any biological organism for that matter is conceived, gets born, begins to grow, diba? And there's a stage where it accelerates in growth and begins to mature, and then it begins to stabilize and plateau, and then over time it begins to decline, okay, degenerate rather, and then finally die. I think that's observable all throughout God's creation, isn't it? And you know, it's God ordained it that way. Now, so this is true for human life, for biological systems, even for worldviews or institutions, civilizations, organizations, okay, including the church. I mean, think about business organizations. How many of you still remember the easy call beeper? I mean, in our lifetime, we've seen the growth and the demise of devices that seemed at that point, you know, very useful, and it did, but yet in an organizational life cycle, it just comes and goes. Now, someone told me last 2 weeks ago, a marketing-oriented person, that really there are what you call product life cycles as well. You know, a product that goes into market, you know, peaks, and then afterwards it declines and it doesn't get used anymore. There are companies that have gone through organizational life cycles. You know, companies like Zenith, companies like, you know, again, I could go on, that maybe earlier in your own lifetime you've seen them, but you don't see them now. Now, is that, I guess, for those who are involved in it, obviously it's a sad thing to happen, but yet those things occur. Now, even worldviews, like according to at least these readings that I've had, I have two primary sources for my teaching. One is the Advanced Strategic Planning by Dr. Aubrey Malfors. He's spoken at one of our conferences. He's a church consultant. The other one is the materials that I gleaned from Dr. June Venser in a Discipling a Whole Nation seminar that I attended. In fact, I've taken the liberty to photocopy this diagram. So I think we do acknowledge him. Parang hindi ko yata nakita Ado yun eh, di ba? Hindi yata natin na-recognize. Dapat kasi nire-recognize natin yun, di ba? So, but at least you know where my sources are. And he also cites a source. I forgot his name. Itchak something, okay? So I can tell you more about the source if you want interested. But it's still good. It's worth for us to make use of this phenomenon called organizational life cycle. So, again, I think I said that already. You know, everything in life begins, grows, plateaus, eventually dies. This may be true of relationships as well, even civilizations. The Greek and Roman civilization. Did you take up church history here? Okay, so even that, isn't it? We can see that. Fortune 500 companies, everything. And even in the church, the organizational life cycle is something that we can observe. For the church in general, it is born and over time it grows. Eventually, it reaches a plateau, and if nothing is done to move it off that plateau, it begins to decline. Okay? And that's really what we're interested in. Even churches. Okay? Okay? Now, according to Malfors, one as far as the church world is concerned, Ado, paki-check mo lang bro, huwag mo na isama yung isang comment ko about a church in Davao that is gone, is up and gone. Oh. in the church world, according to Aubrey Malthus, one of the major reasons for church plateau or decline is the rapid change in society and the inability of the church leadership to respond to these changes. Okay? In fact, he gives a specific example of how seminary education pretty much is still taught with a modernist perspective on worldview, when in fact, at least in the Western world, much of the Western world is now in a postmodernist worldview. And so, if the world changes around us, and if we don't make a change, and we have to qualify what change means, then it's very possible that the church would stop growing and even decline and eventually die. And so the challenge is, how do we stop church decline and instead keep the church in a place of growth? Now, with that being said, I want to show you the organizational life cycle chart that I think the author is here. No, it's not. I'm sorry. Here. This organization life cycle discusses the different stages of growth, problems and potentialities, and prescribes solutions to the problems. The materials are primarily drawn from the International Institute of Rural Reconstruction and the Corporate Life Cycle book by Itzhak Adizes. Okay, so at least I've cited. It's not there, but this is where I'm coming from. This is the source. Now, according to Adizes, he says that there are 10 stages in the life of an organization. Okay? Each stage presents potentials and problems. Okay? So, may opportunities, but may problems. With each stage, a particular management style is also identified. Whenever there is a mismatch between the organizational stage and the management style, a chronic problem develops that endangers the very life of that organization. So, ang gagawin natin, titignan natin yon, at least by his definition of the different stages, ano yung nangyayari, and what are the crucial leadership, organizational management functions that have to come into play in order for that organization to continue to grow and have momentum. Okay, did you get that? That's where I'm going. And the way we're going to do it is by understanding these four letters. So if you notice, there's four letters. What? P-A-E-I. And notice, some of them are in small case, some of them are capitalized. Why is that? And so I want to give you the nomenclature first, and then we're going to study each stage. Nasa page 7 siya. Can you guys go there? Okay. Page 7. Did you see that? Ano siya? Hindi, it's a chart. Baka page 6. Back up one page, please. Parang wala yata. Page 2. Okay, sorry. Okay. Sorry. It's right there pala. Okay, beyond. I'm using a different one. Okay, nakita niyo sa baba? Di ba nandun yung letters? Organizational culture or function. Okay, I think that's what we want to make reference to. Did you see that? Okay, the four letters represent four dimensions of organizational function that are crucial in that stage for that organization. What are the following? P stands for production. It refers to the energy devoted to producing the results for which the organization was created. Okay? Next is A, or administration, refers to the energy devoted to ensuring that the right things are done in the right sequence at the right time. E, entrepreneurship, refers to the energy devoted to creating products or services that will respond to needs. Now again, just bear with us, because what is our product? What is our service? Okay, I mean, it's, I guess if we were to, from a secular point of view, I guess we are in the service industry. We don't really manufacture a product. I mean, we don't manufacture communion elements. We don't produce Bibles or what. I mean, we serve the community by ministering the Word of God and by administering the sacraments. Okay, so in that sense. And then I equals integration refers to the energy devoted to making the members of the organization feel good about their contribution to the organization and to be comfortable with their membership in it. Now, when we look at, I don't know if I said this 2 weeks ago, but I guess there's two facets of our ministry organization. One is the membership of the church, okay? And they are members of the spiritual organization, the church, but that's the realm of our relationship. It's spiritual in nature. On the other hand, as a ministry organization, yes, we have Victory Ministry Association, we have the management team, we work together, okay? Whether we're technically employed or not, the whole point is we are part of the same ministry organization. And so I think, when I'm saying that to simply say that I think when we look at these organizational stages, we have to look at it from that perspective as a ministry organization. So everyone who's on staff with us, whether paid or whether supported as a pastor, that's what we're talking about in a general sense, okay? And then obviously may application, because we have volunteer ministries and so on and so forth. But I think mas relevant ito for our context as a ministry organization. You know, we're right now we're about what, almost 400 yata tayo just in Metro Manila, including our campus missionaries, our pastors, cross-cultural missionaries. So medyo, we're already a medium-sized organization just by our staffing alone. Okay? Now, and it can seem overwhelming at times because we weren't always like this. It's really just in the last 5 years. I'll make reference to our history along the way. So nakita niyo ngayon nakasulat pa doon the uppercase of a letter, let's say it's capital, nasaan ba siya? Okay, let's say capital P, that means production is an emphasis at this stage. Pag uppercase siya, pag capitalized. Pag small case, ibig sabihin important, I mean, it's still an important necessary function, but it's not as crucial as the uppercase letter. So did you get that? Okay? So now, it's interesting, on the growth side of the cycle, okay, the capitalized contribute to the growth of the organization. On the other hand, on the decline side of the organization, the capitalized letters bring about a greater decline in the effectiveness of the organization, okay? So it's double-edged, okay? What can be an asset in one stage can be a liability on the other side, okay? So, all right, well, let's look at each of the stages. Now, they're given there in bullet points. I'm not able to articulate it in my own words, so I will do a lot of reading, and I hope you just bear with me, okay? So, and then if you want to take notes, then do so. And then, as I said, I think, you know, anyway, I'll get into that, what our application question is, okay? So courtship stage, or the prophet and the dreamer stage. Okay, this stage occurs even before the birth of the organization. As Adam, are you there now, the courtship? Okay, it's there, right? Oh. Rodnell, courtship. Okay. O pwede rin sa relationships ngayon, applicable din to, okay? John Adams wrote, "The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people. This radical change in the principles, opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people was the real American Revolution." Okay, so I guess quoting from John Adams. Vision precedes creation. Okay? Let me say that. Vision precedes creation, or I guess reality. As one company put it, you dream it, we will build it. Okay? And Lawrence Miller, author of Barbarians to Bureaucrats, said it succinctly. He said this: to understand the prophet, we must appreciate the power of ideas and the spirit often associated with those ideas. Ideas are the seed of material creation. Ideas are the foundation of great corporations. Ideas are what power all social and religious revolutions. And in promoting their ideas over the established order, prophets are technological or social revolutionaries. We see this happening daily, at times casually. A few people are sitting around and someone sees needs in the ministry or community and is burdened to do something about them. He sees a new way of doing things or producing new products or of delivering new services. He believes he can provide for the unmet need. He senses his calling to be God's instrument for this new venture. He falls in love with the idea and becomes its product champion or its growth promoter. He begins to share this vision or new idea to friends and colleagues who generate prayer and support. He may excite others and they become the founders of this new ministry. They now spread out as missionaries to convert people to their vision. And this missionary activity appears essential to generate the commitment to launch an organization from scratch. If the idea fails to capture the imagination and commitment and energy, money of a few key people, it may simply abort. The vision dies. It may be that someone would pick up the idea again later, but that's another matter. Now, you know, when I think about our own history, I know this just from hearing the stories that, you know, Pastor Rice, Pastor Steve, all these guys, can you imagine? They went to University Belt, and it's kind of funny because when you hear the inside story, you know, you look back and you think, wow, all these things, wow, they were great decisions. But you'll find out that a lot of it were either just, you know, not really born out of a lot of deliberate planning. I mean, they had a sense from God, obviously, that God was going to do something here. But not everything was, you could just say, you know, was of, you know, divinely directed. I mean, I remember, I think I shared this story. You may have heard me say this. I think in 19, after U-Belt was founded, you know, several people got saved from La Salle, you know, Assumption, and the parents didn't want them to go to U-Belt because it was crime-ridden. And so what they did was they started looking for a place to meet in Makati. And Pastor Rice and Pastor Steve were looking in the area of, I think, in Salcedo Village. They'd been going down. They didn't really know anybody, okay? And what happened was biglang umulan, ano? And so it started to flood. They were just, you know, just frustrated, discouraged. They started running to this building because it was raining. And they happened to go under this building. The long and short of it was, you know, it was raining. And they got to meet, you know, one of the guys in the building turns out to be the owner of the building. And they rode the elevator. And it turns out that this man not only owned the building, the Sagittarius building, by the way, and he was also a Christian. And they ministered the baptism of the Holy Spirit to him. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. And eventually, he got so excited that he turns out that he was not only the owner of the building, not only was he a Christian, but he's also owned a TV station, Channel 7. Okay? And so the long and short of it was this man, Nard Jimenez, okay, became, they allowed us to show the Forerunner teen show, you know, and we ended up having a lot of people come into the church as a result of that through the Forerunner show. And we ended up meeting in Sagittarius. There's an auditorium there. And that was the beginning of the church in Makati. So, in other words, you look back in our history, it's like, wow, can you imagine? Talk about divine appointments. Okay? But what's striking in the earlier days of this ministry, especially in U-Belt, was the preaching. The preaching was, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you need two things. You're going to need a Bible and a passport. Okay? And you're going to go around the world. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. So, you know, here they were preaching destiny to these young people when most of them have never been off the island. And the funny thing was they were crazy enough to believe it. Okay? 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 We were crazy enough to believe that we can raise future leaders, that we can plant churches, that we can go to the nations. That's what the birthing is. And do you realize that even at that early stage, I mean, there were things that, you know, when they got the new center, I mean, it was the fragrance was amazing. I mean, it was deathly. Okay, they buy in sewer pipes. You know, story. I've never been there. I mean, that's our Mecca. We should go on a pilgrimage one of these days. Okay, I haven't been there. I've been to the one in Recto. Okay, beside Jollibee, di ba? Jollibee is back of Jollibee, di ba? So yun na abutan ko na yun, di ba? But that's the birthing stage. That's the courtship, if you will. That's a dreamer. That's the stage when, you know, it could be birth or it could be aborted right there and then. But aren't you glad by the grace of God, you know, that ministry, that church was birthed in 1984. You know, 2,000-3,000 people responded to the gospel. And after the dust settled, about 150 college students, you know, Ferdy Kabiling, June Escosar, you know, Manny Muleta, all those men, you know, were there, okay, and the Lord just began to work with those young men. So that's the courtship, I guess, in infancy, you know, halos may overlap na rin yun, but which brings us to the next stage. If you notice, by the way, what are the crucial organizational functions? It's the entrepreneurship, if you will. So you understand, when we say entrepreneurship, it's not that we're starting up. It's like a new enterprise. It's like a new venture. There's a lot of energy devoted to creating things. Okay? So that's what's crucial. Now, when the next stage is the infancy, okay, that's where the producer, the product, services. If the vision is accepted and it survives the courtship stage, then the organization is formed. In human analogy, the marriage takes place. In this next stage, the founders are all frantic with far-ranging activities, answering phones, writing letters, promoting in meetings, rousing prayers, raising funds. The focus shifts from dreaming to doing. The general characteristics of this stage are the following. Number one, the founder is a hard worker. Number two, programs are opportunity-driven and action-oriented. Number three, little systems or rules. Number four, there's no delegation. Number five, there's inconsistent performance. And number six, results are short-term. Remember, these are descriptive, okay? They're not prescriptive. It's just, this is what's observed in most of these organizations. Now, come to think of it, a number of you have been involved in a church plant. And I guess, in a way, this is a recreation of that, okay? Because not only are we talking about Victory as a whole, but every time we birth a new congregation, many of these elements are also present. Okay? The number of founders may vary. It may be only one or two key people who have the backing of some committed supporters. They may make the critical and immediate decisions. The orphan organization is usually dramatically underfunded. Okay, I like that. Understaffed and very vulnerable. You've heard those stories that our offering bags earlier then were heavy because of all the coins, okay, that our students would give, okay? But yeah, that was excitement, isn't it? If the founders do not raise the needed money for operation and program, the infant organization will die. In organizational development, okay, two rules are in tension with each other. On the one hand, at the start, creative and spiritual energy are high while material assets are low. Okay, how many of you like that, okay? Okay, there's a lot of vision and faith, not a lot of resources. On the other hand, as the organization grows, material assets become high while spiritual energy becomes low. That's kind of sad, isn't it? I hope it's not one or the other. The founder is the prime mover of things. He plans and implements programs. He is, as Miller calls him, the corporate barbarian. He is single-minded, even fierce, and dedicated to his mission. When he talks, his adrenaline pumps through his veins and the power of commitment is evident. He's an autocrat with no board of directors or executive committee to control him. In fact, he resists such body because it only may delay progress. At this stage, this is expected and tolerable. He's a one-man show, a managerial cowboy who shoots first and then aims. At this point, a paradigm shift takes place from idealist to a pragmatist. The concept is compromise for cash. If there's cash, the organization survives. If no cash, it results in infant mortality. On a socio-political level, once a revolution succeeds, the first people to be thrown into jail are the idealists or the ideologues who started the movement in the first place. Okay, now that's in a social revolution application. In a revolutionary situation where the rebels have taken over government, the need is not new ideas, but survival to remain in power. You know, we really have it so good, our pastors, you know. We give you a bonus. I mean, we're technically not obliged to do that. But I would remember stories from Pastor Jojo and the others how at Christmas, Pastor Steve would have all the pastors stand up and parade them in front of the congregation and said, you know, give in the offering so that they can have some extra for their Christmas. I mean, do you still want to do that? Haharap tayo sa mga ano, di ba? Parang enjoy, hindi ka na comfortable, di ba? Okay. So we have it good, okay? And we're grateful for God. And we're not guilty about that, but we need to be grateful that there's an abundance in this ministry. In fact, you know, you've heard me say this. I was telling the management team. I think they didn't realize it. I mean, do you realize that we receive a financial miracle from God every single week? Because when people give their tithes and offerings, that's not something we demand from them. That's something we preach to them to give to God. Okay? How many of you know that? That's a financial miracle. The only thing that's going for us is our credibility. Think about that. I mean, if they stop giving their tithes and offerings, we can't demand it from them. No. We're not the the cult that monitors the tithes and offerings of their people. I mean, there are groups who do that in this nation. Okay? So, it's a miracle that God provides abundantly. I hope you every week you still pray for your tithes and offerings as a church, okay? Come on, don't lift up your hands if you're not, okay? Para ako yata yun. Okay? No, I would remember every week. Even if you have an abundance, you ask God, Lord, provide for this church so that we can keep, okay? So that we can bring food to the table in our homes too, okay? Paul says, di ba? If people receive a spiritual blessing, then I think it's only right that they receive a material blessing from us. So there's no apologies to what we do, but we need to understand the basis. All right. This is also a stage of perseverance and test of commitment. The founder realizes that he has reaped the benefits of what he did not bargain for. What are the things that he did not bargain for? He receives the reward of working 12 hours or more a day, 7 days a week, or a little take-home income, of struggling with weekly payroll, even if the personnel are not grateful. Hindi naman siguro totoo sa atin yan, ano? Working hard only to be attacked by family or neglect. The survival of the founder is at stake. If he wants to move to another stage, he needs a strong family support and the involvement of his wife in the painful genesis of birthing a dream. Otherwise, it can result in marriage breakdown, child delinquency, and even the death of the organization. If the family is sacrificed, the price of success will be too high. In fact, he gives an example here. A Christian leader founded one of the largest humanitarian organizations that helped hundreds of thousands of children and families. Yet, you know what the price was? The suicide of a daughter, a divorce, and a lonely death in an apartment. So, of course, it doesn't have to happen to us. But the point is, there's so much energy and sacrifice when not only have you birthed and as you're nurturing that organization. Okay? And I hope that, again, as we grow bigger and bigger as a ministry organization, we don't reach that point where we think things are easy and we expect things to be that. In fact, later on, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we have to answer the question, how can we prevent this from happening? And there are, okay? But that's what happens here. And so what are the crucial, critical organizational functions? Production, that's where productivity is so important. I can remember, you know, even, you know, we were involved in a church plant in Quezon City when we would just pray. We would just, I mean, do everything. I mean, you know, and we would start small groups. And, I mean, it's pretty much everything we would do. And if you've been involved in a church plant as well, you understand that it's, you're birthing something. There's a lot of spiritual energy. You expand to gain that momentum. Okay? Next is what you call the go-go stage. Hindi agogo, okay? Okay, or the sales stage. This is the go-go organization. It combines the passion of a lover and the action of a new parent. The infant organization has found the core supporters and the seed money for basic programs. Now it sees opportunities everywhere and pursues each opportunity with a tremendous appetite. He would like to change the world in a day. There is proliferation of programs, but it has a short attention span and no experience from which to prioritize programs. The GoGo organization can fall victim to what is known as founder's trap. This is interesting. The maternal commitment that was essential in infancy can now smother the organization to its death. Everything is centralized on the founder. He is the Messiah who alone knows what is best. Unless the founder is prepared to depersonalize or to use the term denationalized or for multinational corporations, policies and institutionalize the organization, the infant can die. What is needed is a system. At this stage, the founder would need the help and wisdom of a strong board of directors or executive committee. This may be the first sign of the founder's trap. Now, let me say this again. I'm speaking for myself, knowing, you know, I didn't come in, I wasn't an original member, but I came in this ministry organization in 1988. It was founded in 84. I started attending at 87. And ever since, I've worked with Pastor Steve, you know, since that time. Of course, Pastor June and the others for Ferdy were earlier than myself. But one thing I know, our founding pastor, Pastor Steve, was not in this mode at all. He empowered us. And it's kind of funny. Every time he's honored by the pastor, some of you have worked with him, I know some, they always they always honor the more than common accolade given him is that he believed in us. And sure enough, but you know, Pastor Steve in his candid moments would sometimes say, "Well, sure, yeah, I believe in you, but it was really more because I couldn't do it myself. I needed help. So whether I believed you or not, you know, I delegated it to you." Okay, so okay, thank you for being. No, but that was his heart. That he would empower us because he believed the Holy Spirit in us. Okay, now he would rebuke us and correct us. Okay, I hope you. You know, one of the healthiest things that can happen to you is if you get some rebuking. Okay, not all the time, but every so often. Okay, I remember this Lionel Richie lookalike from Canada. He used to be part of our ministry organization. When he went here, and then he went back, he was commenting how, in his discipleship, he said there's a lot of rebuction going on. Okay, so he was being rebuked all the time. So, you know, and at this stage, if you just hang on to all that, and I've realized this, you know, there's if we're not careful, we can actually stifle the development of our other staff and leaders. And at what point do you delegate? At what point do you, you know? And I remember Pastor Steve would tell us, his philosophy of leadership delegation was loose reins, tight grip on loose reins. Did you hear that? Did you get that? Okay. Maluwag yung renda, pero makapit siya dun sa lubid. Okay? Nakuha niyo yun? Okay, he gives you, pero kung talagang medyo magbawal, he can pull you in right away. So I thought that was interesting. At least, he doesn't say this, but at least when we would talk, I would remember he would say that. And I've learned to adopt that style as well, where, okay, you empower people, you of course you train them, equip them, but if they go too far and they, you know, then certainly you need to pull them back in. Next, let me see. The organization's distinctives are, okay, the organization is organized around people and not on the task. Behavior is reactive, not proactive. Managers lack focus. No performance appraisal. Salary compensation is based on the mood of the founder. Okay, I don't think this is true of us as well. The problems are predictable. Since the organization is concerned with cash, it becomes market-driven and programs will proliferate. Moreover, the structure is highly centralized. The solution would be to depersonalize operation. As far as the founder is concerned, either he is fired or he grows with the organization with the developing team. If any of these are done, the organization moves to the next stage. You know, one classic example of this is Steve Jobs. Remember, Steve Jobs was, I guess he got into the founder's trap, and so he was fired by his own board. But after that, they got him back, isn't it? And fortunately for them, that's why we can benefit from the iPhone 4 and all the iPads and all the MacBooks. Okay, because apparently he was, you know, I guess Steve Jobs is... He's a unique man, gifted, but I guess he was in this trap. So, adolescence, and then we'll take a quick break, okay? The next stage is what's called adolescence. Notice what is this organizational chart ulit. No? Ano yung emphasized organizational functions? Production and entrepreneurship, okay? Ito yung mahalaga. Ito, importante yan, pero ito yung mas emphasized at this stage. Okay, is this making sense to you? I mean, again, part of our question later on is, where are we in this? Okay, next is what the adolescence stage, called the professionalism or institutionalism stage. With adolescence, the organization takes the time needed to establish an administrative system, more emphasis on management functions. There is a preoccupation in corporate planning and coordination of meetings. The financial system and personnel manuals are reduced in writing. Now, expenses include fax machines, computers, and never-ending string of systems and communication software. It's kind of funny, isn't it? What was once considered as luxury has become a necessity. Okay? Ngayon, kailangan lahat ng pastor may MacBook na, di ba? Dati. Okay? Parang. Okay, notepad. Okay? That's right. Diba? In a maze of cluttered activities, a driving force is the need for sanity, structure, systems, and security. At this stage, two conflicting forces can split the organization. On the one hand, to work for administrative stability, and on the other, to go with a job and to tackle new opportunities. External help is needed to integrate these two functions and devote energy both to establish an administrative base to tackle the opportunities in the future. Well, this is interesting. This stage is considered as the rebirth of the organization. Its distinctives are the following. An emotional rebirth of the organization apart from the founder. Next is the activation of the board. Next is the setting up of a managerial system. Another one is the delegation of authority. Five is change of leadership style. Interesting. That even your style of leadership has to change as the organization grows. Ang mahirap, mga kapatid, kung very set in tayo sa leadership style natin and we're not cognizant of the changes in the organization, we become ineffective as leaders. Okay? So that's there's a whole lot of implication with that. Designing of a compensation package, redirection of the goal. Decentralization is the craft managers. In moving into this stage, it is best to institutionalize an effective delegation system. An example of that is the Exodus 18 model of Jethro. The risk for adolescent organization is that the energy required to establish administrative systems. Please take note of this. Okay, let me read this slowly. The risk for the adolescent organization is that the energy required to establish administrative systems may be drained from its entrepreneurship rather than from its production. Okay? Nakuha nyo? The energy, remember, you expend energy in the organization. There, he's saying here, at least from his perspective, that it's better that the energy you take from somewhere else should be from the production rather than the entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Sabi niya, or else what's going to happen is, if this happens, the organization may age prematurely. The greatest challenge is whether the organization can maintain forward motion, continue to be creative, decisive, and develop increasing competence while at the same time administering secured territory. Okay? So dito, anyway, if you have questions naman, let's reserve it for later, no? So ang crucial dito, administration and entrepreneurship. Okay? Hindi yung production, sabi niya. All right, well, it's 2:55. Let's take a 10-minute break. Come back at 2:06.